left off last time, 2 weeks ago, on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara on the top of the Daf, the first 20 lines, was discussing a person who doesn't learn Chumash and he doesn't learn Mishnayos, and he said, I'm already, that's a glatta behemah, the Gemara says. And if he learns Chumash and he doesn't learn Mishnayos, they have a terrible term for him. He's a boor. And if he learns Chumash, Mikra, and he learns Mishnayos, but he doesn't Mishamish Talmid HaChachamim, so that's also terrible. So each Tana had a sharper expression than the other one. They were all upset about that. Okay, so the Gemara is going to continue on the same theme, that there are people who learn Mishnayos, but they don't learn Gemara, so they don't really know how to paskin well, because a lot of times the Gemara will interpret the Mishnah that it's Shaloi Kaloch, and the Mishnah goes like a certain Tana whose opinion is not accepted. The Gemara will explain that the Mishnah only refers to a specific case. The din is like that. Another case, the din is not like that. So one is going to paskin from the Mishnayos with that. Today, it's not shaykh today. You learn Mishnayos, you have the Bar Tanuri right away. Then on the side, you have the Tosis Yonta. We'll pick up whenever he's not happy with the Bar Tanur. So today, he probably could paskin from the Mishnayos. But in the days of the Gemara, if he just learned Mishnayos and you paskin to others based on Mishnayos, he's probably going to fall in. He's probably going to make mistakes. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, about 20 lines from the top, after the two dots. The Yirei Yaseh Hashem b'ni u'melech, v'im shoinim al tisar. A person should have Yirei Hashemayim, fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should fear the government, he should have derech eretz for the melech, and don't hang out, im shoinim al tisarav. Don't be buddy-buddy with the shonim. Who are the shonim? Om Rav Yitzchak, Ela Shishanim Halachas, Mishnah, Elosha Mishnah. Don't hang out, don't be friendly with people. Alar Mishnayos. What's so terrible with people alar Mishnayos? What's the world is coming to an end? The Gemara is going to say no. It means if they paskin halacha mitoch Mishnasam, because they're going to paskin wrong. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't it obvious? Isn't it a dead giveaway that that's the Pshat and the Pasuk? Im Shoinim Al Tisarev, you shouldn't be friendly with people who learn Mishnayos, how then can you read the word Shonim? There's no other way to read it. Pshita. The Gemara says no. Ma'od Detema, one might have said that the word Shonim means people who are sinners who repeat the same Avera many times. Ma'od Detema Shonim Bechet. You shouldn't be friendly with people who repeat the same Avera many times. Okid Ravuna Diyama Ravuna Kimishavar Adam Avera Vishonabo. If a person does an Avera once and twice and he repeats it, he gets so used to it. So he starts to rationalize, and everybody tells other stories. Whenever I tell a story, I'm always the hero of the story. Whenever someone else is going to tell the same story, he'll be the hero of the story. Whoever tells a story gives it in his twist, in his version. So a person who keeps on repeating the same Avera, he's not going to say he did an Avera, he's going to rationalize, it's going to turn out that he did a mitzvah. At least he didn't do an Avera, that's for sure. So that's what Ravuna says, Ki v'shavar adam Avera, v'shana bo, he repeats the same Avera, hutra loi, it becomes muta. The Gemara explains in other places, hutra salka daitach, it becomes muta, elo, nasis la kehetu, he's going to rationalize, he's going to think that it's muta. So one might have interpreted the pasuk in Mishlei, Im Shani Maltisarb, don't hang out, don't be friendly with people who are mushrash bechet, who repeat. The word shonim is miloshin shone. Over Aved of Shana, but to repeat others. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak interprets, that shonim refers to shoni halochas. The person shouldn't be friendly with people who learn Mishnais. Zagding Martana, there's a brisa that says, Hatanoim mevale oilom. The different types of brises. Sometimes Gemara will introduce a brisa Tana Rabbanon, sometimes they'll introduce a brisa Tanya, and sometimes they introduce a brisa Tono. So the Balamor writes that each term, Tana Rabbanon, Tanya and Tono, each term represents a different kind of a brisa, and he says the brisa that's introduced with the word Tono was composed initially as a commentary on the Mishnah. It's like Bayos Bar Tanura. Bar Tanura was composed by Rabbi Avadya Bar Tanura from Italy as a commentary on the Mishnah. So this Braisa Tana is a commentary on the Mishnah. The Mishnah has here the last few lines in the Mishnah. Hu Hayoimer. The Mishnah is Achof Amir Aleph that we learned a while ago. So we never finished the Mishnah until the end. So the last two lines in the Mishnah, last three lines, Hu Hayoimer, they're quoting Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua used to say, Chosid Shoita, a guy who's very far frumped, but in a silly fashion. So the Gemara said, what's an example? The Gemara says a girl is drowning and she's wearing a bathing suit and he doesn't want to save her because she's not dressed properly. So that's a chassid shaita. There's a time and a place for midas chassidus if someone is drowning, so you don't prove a chassidus. So a chassid shaita person has exaggerated midas chassidus where it's not called for. A Rasha Arum, a clever, wise guy, he knows Shulchan Aruch, he knows Chashim Mishpat, and he abuses the system. So the Gemara gave a few examples. We were learning Chaf Aleph from a base to the top of Chaf Beis and Aleph. So that's terrible. That's a Rasha Arum, a person who's clever, he knows how to abuse the system of the Halacha. The Isha Prusha, a very frumer woman, Umakas Prushim, Arielim Avaliyon, we're going to have to discuss who these people are. What's wrong with Isha Prusha? What's wrong with Makas Prushim? So these are people who are destroying the world. So the Gemara quotes Tana, we have our Braisa. That's what we're up to now. Tana, we have our Braisa. And Chobesam and Aleph, Hatanoim, the people who study Mishnayis Mevaliyon. They're also destroying the world. The Mishnah gave you a list of a few people who are destroying the world. Mevaliyon. So one of the Mishnayis is also destroying the world. Frag the Gemara, Mevaliyon, Mesalka Daitach. What's wrong? Why? That's wonderful. They're learning Mishnayos. What could be worse? Zagmar Nain. Amar Avina Shemarim Halachim Mitoch Mishnasam. That means they paskan halachas. They learn Mishnayos, and they were not Mishamish Talmid Chachamim to learn the Gemara. To know about Medvar Mamurim, the Mishnah only applies in certain cases of the Mishnah Shalak Halacha. They just learn Mishnayos. That's superficial. Zagmar Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a Braisa that spells it out Mufurish. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is the one who was quoted in the Mishnah as listing off a few other people who are Mevali Olam. Hu HaYoimer, and the Mishnah is Rabbi Shu, he said, Chassid Shaita, Rosh HaOrim, whole bunch of people. So the Braisa lists off, Amar Rabbi Shu, he's commenting on this idea that Tanoim, people who study, doesn't mean Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Raptar from Blazman, as I mean, Tanoim means people in the days of the Amaroim who study Mishnayos and they don't study Gemara. So Rabbi Shu says, Mevali Olam Haim, Faloi Meyashvei Olam Haim. Isn't it wonderful that people are learning Mishnayos? Yeah. They keep the world going. Shenemar, Halicha Salam Loi. We have a Nesira, Halicha Salam Loi. Atikra Halicha Salah Halachas. The one who learns Mishnayos is keeping the world going. Elazag the Gemara, yeah, that's if you learn Mishnayos and you don't get involved, you let the rabbis in the community paskan the Shailas. That's wonderful that you learn Mishnayos. Elazamarim Halacham Mitoch Mishnasam. But there are Balabatim who learn Mishnayos and they don't know the Gemara. They don't know about Medvar Mamurim in the Mishnah Shalek Halacha. So they're going to paskin based on the Mishnayos. That'll be a disaster. So the Mishnah, this Braisa Tana, and the Tanya Nami Hachi, is adding on to what Rabbi Shua said in the Mishnah. He gave a shorter list of Mevali Olam, and in the Braisa he adds on this one as well. The one who learns Mishnayos in his Mora Halacha Mitoch Mishnasa.
He's talking about somebody as an individual being Mora Halacha for himself or for the public?
For others, not for himself. Yeah, for others. So the problem was, the Gemara was asking, Mevali Olam, how is he ruining other people's lives? What does he have to do? Hey, let's sit and learn Mishnayos. The answer is no, he paskin shaylus for them. He tells them that he's qualified. He tells the other people he's qualified to paskin, and he's going to mislead them. So the Mishnah says, Anisha Prusha, mean a parish means a chassid, a tzaddik, midas chassidus. So if you have a woman who probably meets chassidus, that's going to destroy the world. What's so terrible if you have a woman who is a big tzaddikus? Mm-hmm. What's wrong? So the Gemara is going to say what we're talking about. Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa, tzula, slinus, a single girl who's always davening. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says that's terrible. And almana shoivavis, and almana shivive in Aramaic means neighbors. So almana, a woman who lost her husband, and she's very friendly with all her neighbors. Shevavi said, that's a disaster. What's a disaster? What's so wrong a single girl who davens all the time? And what's so bad? And Amon who very friendly with the neighbors. V'kotn shalakol l'chadoshav. Kotn shalakol l'chadoshav literally means a full-term pregnancy is 9 months. If a baby is born, l'kol l'chadoshav means that it's going to be an abortion. It means the baby's not going to survive. The baby's born before 9 months. Now they put the baby in an incubator till he'll be healthy enough, as healthy as it would have been if he would have stayed inside the mother's womb for the full 9 months. Days of Gemara had no incubator. Katan shalakol l'chadosha means a baby is born as an eifel. He's not born alive. So the Gemara says, these three people are mevali olam. They ruined the world. What do you mean? The baby died. The baby died as an infant. What has it got to do? So the Gemara says, no, that's a code. Katan shalakol l'chadosha refers to a bachur who's learning for smicha, but he didn't learn everything yet, and he's already paskening shilas. Chacham shalo higia lo hayra. A person who doesn't know enough yet to paskin shailas, so that's just like you have a nefil who's lakol chadosh. He didn't have the full term pregnancy of the 9 months. So a person who learned a little bit, tashmek tabik in the yeshiva, but he didn't learn enough that he should know how to paskin a shaila. So that's a chacham shalo higia lo hayra. So that's mevali yolam. They ruin the world. And what's wrong with the psulat slinus? What's wrong with the girl who's davening all the time? What's the disaster over there? So Gemara is going to discuss it. I remember once I was at a wedding sitting next to Dr. Lim in the front row. So the kala was under the chuppah, shuffling back and forth, saying tilim or something. So he muttered under his breath that it's absolute slyness. A single girl's dining so much. It's now is not the time under the chuppah to start chuckling. Now it's in style. Years ago, when he got married, when I got married, when you got married, it wasn't in style. Now it's in style that all the girls under the chuppah, they're all saying tilim.
Walking down saying tilim.
Walking down, yeah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? A girl who davens, what's the chisaron? In an Amon who's friendly with the neighbors, what's so bad about that? Fegmar, ain't he? It's not correct. For Hamar, Rabbi Yechanan once made a comment. Lomad no yir eschet mipsula. We should learn from he saw a single girl who had such yir shemayim. She davened so beautifully. So we should learn from her. The kibul schar mi almana. He knew there was almana in his neighborhood, Rabbi Yechanan's neighborhood. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So there was an almana who didn't live in his neighborhood. He used to go. She used to walk a half an hour every day to daven in his shul. So he said we should learn kibul schar mi almana. We should learn that if you put yourself out. If you walk a half an hour every day in order to get to shul, you're going to get schar. So the Gemara tells what's the story. What's the first half of what Rabbi Yechanan said? We should learn from a single girl who was davening, we should learn how to have Yireschet. The Rabbi Yechanan Shoma, Rabbi Yechanan once overheard a single girl davening, apparently she was good looking. Rabbi Yechanan Shoma Lahi Besula, heard a single girl, the Nafla Ahapa, maybe she was saying Tachnun or whatever she was davening, the Kamar, Ribbana Shalaylam, Barasa Ganeidin, Barasa Gehenim. He created a place for tzaddikim to be rewarded and a place for rishayim to be punished. Barasa tzaddikim, barasa rishayim. The rishayim are going to go to Gehenna, and tzaddikim are going to go to Ganeid. Yiratim ufanecha shaleikash lebi b'nei yodam. I hope and I pray that people shouldn't be nechshal. The men shouldn't sin because they see that I'm so good looking. So we should learn Yerushamayim from the single girl. So Rabbi Yechanan says, we should learn from the single girl who davens very nicely. So what do you say over here? Tana Rabbana, the Brisa says that a psulat slinus, a single girl is davening, is a disaster. It's mevali yolam. Why? Then the Gemara asks on the second half. The almana shoivav is the almana who's friendly with all the neighbors, but the shivivi, that's mevali yolam, they ruin the world. So the Gemara asks, but why? Rabbi Yechanan said, we should learn from the almana in here who didn't live in his neighborhood, who walked a half an hour every day. The daven in his shul, we should learn kibul schami almana. What's that story? Dei almana, once upon a time, there was an almana, the havoi bek nishta b'shivavusa. There was a shul in her neighborhood, and she didn't daven in her neighborhood shul. Kol yoyma, every day, havasasya matzle bei medrasha to Rabbi Yechanan. She would walk every day to Rabbi Yechanan's shul in order to daven there. Oh, my Lord, so Rabbi Yechanan once asked her, Biti, why do you walk so far? There's a shul in your neighborhood. Why do you walk all the way to my shul? Lo beis haknesses b'shiva v'usech, isn't there a shul in your neighborhood? Amralei, so she told Rabbi Yechanan, Rebbe, v'lo schar psius yeshli, don't I get schar halicha? If I walk a half an hour, if I daven in the shul in my neighborhood, I only walk 5 minutes and I get to shul. If I walk a half an hour to your neighborhood, so I get schar psius, you get more schar halicha. So the Gemara says, so what's so bad about a psula, a single girl who davens in an almana who's friendly with the neighbors? What's so bad about that? And for the Gemara, we're talking about a case where there's something fishy. If the girl is always davening because she's putting on an act that she's davening, she's really not frum, and it's a cover-up for rishis that she's doing. It's an act. Or sometimes you have a woman, an almana, who seems to be very friendly with all her neighbors, and she's really doing kishif, and she's ruining everybody's families and everybody's marriage and whatever. That's what the Gemara says. Kikama, when does the Brisa say that a psula tzlinus, a single girl is always davening, and almana shivivis, an almana is friendly with the neighbors, is a disaster. Kigon, Yochani Basritivi. There was a woman by the name Yochani Basritivi, and she was a marshas. So that's what the Brisa is talking about. What exactly did she do? So Rashi tells Hagansa Maisa over here, and the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara say they don't know where in the world this comes from. They don't know if there's a Yerushalmi, a Medrash, they don't know where it comes from. Every so often, the Maritz Chais in the back has like this. Every so often, Rashi will tell you a whole long story, and we don't know exactly what the Makar is. Recently, I think, in the Gniza in Cairo, I think Solomon Schechter published, someone there from the seminary published a Sefer Agoda. Agodas from the days of the Gemara. So it has a lot of these Agodas that Rashi quotes, but we don't have any other source for it. They quote, there's a long Rashi in Abu Dezara, tells a whole strange story about Rab Meir, who was married to Bruria, and she thought she was Mezana with someone else, and then she committed suicide, a whole story. The Gemara refers to something about Bruria, the Gemara doesn't say what. And Rashi fills you in a whole story, we don't know where Rashi got it from. So I think all of those stories are in the Sefer Agodah. That's a very old Sefer. But this story over here was that there was a woman who knew how to do kishuf, and when someone would be in labor, so she would, based on her ability to do kishuf, she would make the yoledes difficult. She would make the labor very difficult, and then she would say she's going to go home to daven. The frumish tik, she's going to go home to daven. And then she would go home and undo the kishuf, and mele the baby would be born. So she put on an act as if her davening is saving, making life easier for the Yoledes, and if anything, it was the reverse. She was the one who created the whole problem. Okay. So you got to beware. If a person looks a little too frum, it looks put on, so sometimes it's a cover up for issues.
With all due respect, Rashi just quotes one story. I mean, how many people can do something like that? This was a woman who took advantage of the system. It's not really a.
Yeah.
It's a difficult Rashi. It's a difficult piece of Gemara.
No, it's funny.
It means if you, the Bryce only means rare cases. The Bryce means those rare people. If you have a single girl and the davening looks a little too put on, a girl davens three times a day, that's beautiful. But if the girl's shuckling all the time and davening very longish, so it looks a little too much, then you have to be choshish that maybe it's a cover up for something else. Anything that's exaggerated, you have to be careful. Then the Gemara says, and what was the third thing? My kotnu shalakola chadosh. What does that mean? The simple translation means a baby that's born before the full 9 months of the pregnancy. So it'll be a nafel. It'll be born and it'll die. So the Gemara, hocho in Bavel, targimu. In Bavel, they interpreted the lashon of the Braise. The Braise said, the kotnu shalakola chadosh is from the Mevali Yoilam. So here they interpreted that it refers to a Talmud Chacham. Hamavayit berabosav. Boshim pshat tamachoch. Hamavayit berabosav means one who picks up the halachas from the Rebbe, but he doesn't pick up the attitudes. The Moshe Kibbul Torah Misina, Masorah Yoshua, the Masorah has on not only dinim, it has an attitude and an approach. How are you supposed to view what's happening in the world? So there are people who don't want to pick up the approach of the Rabbeim, the attitudes of the Rebbe, just want to pick up the dinim, and they think that attitude is not part of the masorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's not correct. That's called hamavayit tamachacham, hamavayit berabosav. He kicks them, and they're behind. In other words, he's not following. He's just following the halachas, not following the attitude. So why should that be called kotnu shalakol lechadoshav? What kind of a lashon is that? So Rashi interprets three lines from the bottom. The korelikot mishalekol hadosha. How does the lashon fit in? So Rashi says because there's a Gemara Chagige where the Gemara has an agarate that a Talmid chacham hamavayit berabosav. He doesn't follow the attitudes of the rabbeim. He only picks up the halachas, doesn't pick up the hashkafe. So the Gemara says he will die at a younger age. Yom of miskatzrim. He will die young. So that's why we refer to him hocha targim and bavel. They interpreted that the brisa means tamachacham hamavayit berabosav. So we call him a kotn shalakol chadoshin because he's not going to live to a ripe old age. He's going to die young. That's how Rashi interprets. And then the Gemara says, Rababa Amar, Rababa lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rababa Amar, Zeh Talmud Shalakol, because it says, Hocha Targimo. Here in Bavel, they interpret it like this. And Rababa disagrees. Rababa lived in Eretz Yisrael. Half of these Amoraim lived in Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they're quoting Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael here, the whole Amud. Some of them lived in Eretz. The Gemara presents it as if these people were sitting and talking to each other. They didn't know each other. These are people from two different parts of the world. So, Hacha, Dargimo, and Bavel, they interpret it goes, And a Talmud who only picks up the halacha doesn't pick up the hashkafa b'masur. And Rabbah lived in Eretz Yisrael, he gave a different interpretation. A person that didn't learn enough. You have to complete the course of a study. You have to know all the halachas. You can't just, a lot of people think, they learn hilchas basa b'chalav, and they'll know hilchas basa b'chalav. They're able to paskin. You can't paskin a basa b'chalav unless you know the rest of the halacha. You have to know the rest of the Shulchan Aruch. Every area of halacha is like that. You can't always find the answer in the siman over here. The Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara for sure is not written in such an orderly fashion that you find all the answers over here. Sometimes the answer is somewhere else. I remember when we were learning in Yeshiva, when we were learning the end of Gemara Yevamos, so we were learning the Dinim of Tzodaka Krushovcha, so we learned the Shulchan Aruch, and then we learned the Pischi Tshuva, the first Tshuva, Rab Chaim Balozhina, so we went through the Tshuva, and then my Chavrusa and I thought that we knew all there is to know about the topic, so we wanted to test ourselves. So we looked in the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvas, and we read a Shaila, and we decided what the answer should be. We knew what the Psak was. Then we looked in Rav Moshe, what did he say? He introduced a Gemara Mcharis that we never heard of. Whoever heard that Gemara Mcharis? Gemara had nothing to do with anything, about Chisor and Eva Mibifnim. Rav Moshe shows how it's connected over here, how it has the Shaychas over here. It's always like that. See, Rav Moshe knew Kala Tarakula. So if you have a Shaila, the answer may not necessarily be in the thought that you learned Masechah Saita, and all there is to know about Saita, there's always going to be a Gemara somewhere else that's going to have a detail in Hilchah Saita that was never discussed over here. Like you study all the Masechah's Gittin, so you think you know everything about Gittin. There's a Favor for the Gemara in Yuma, and Daf Yud Gimel has certain details about Hilchah's Gittin that never appears anywhere else in Masechah's Gittin. It's only in Yuma. Everything is like that. Masechah Shabbos, you would think Shabbos is such a big Masechta, you think you know everything. There's certain Gemaras in Sanhedrin, Pei Gimel, that don't appear anywhere else in Shas about Hilchah Shabbos. Every halacha like that. That's the Gemara has a lashon Mimerchak Tovi Lachma. A lot of times you have to give a Maramokim from far away. It's not found over here. So that's what the Gemara says. Talmachachim Shelo Higil Ohayro. Talmachachim, he learned a section of the halacha, and he thinks that even if he does master it, but many, you have to know the halacha in context. You have to know in context the rest of the halacha. You have to know how to apply the halacha. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mai Dechsiv, Pasuk Gemishli says, Pasuk Gemishli is talking about learning Torah, about Chochma. Chochma is always referring to Torah. So it says, Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipilo, many people, the Chochma has caused many people to lose their life. Cholol is a dead body, a person who was murdered. Ki matzi cholol ba'adama, you have to bring an egg la'rufa if you find a person who was murdered. Lo noda mehiko. Ki rabim chalolim hipila, the Torah has caused many people to lose their lives. Vatsumim kol harugeho, and a lot of people are dead. So it's a repeat of the same thing. A lot of people are dead, a lot of people are dead. So the Rav Huna quotes the name of Rav, ki rabim chalolim hipila. The word hipila has the connotation of a nafil. A nafil usually means shalai kolala chadosho. It wasn't a full-term pregnancy, so when the woman had her labor and she delivered the baby, it wasn't a viable baby, so he died. So Rabbi Chalol Hepila is the Tamchachm Shalom Higil Hayro Umera. The fellow's Paskin Ishailis, he's not yet full-term. He didn't finish the whole course of learning. He's not yet ready to Paskin and Ishailis. So that's the first half of the Pasuk speaks about the danger of Paskin Ishailis when you're still raw. But Subim Kol Harigel goes on one who does know how to Paskin, and he doesn't open up his mouth, like Oitzim, Rashi says. Oitzim Einav Meros Baro, Rashi. You see the last line of Rashi? Quotes from Yishai Lamed Gimel. Oitzim Einav means to close your eyes. So Atzumim has the connotation of a person not closing his eyes, of a person closing his mouth. When a Shaila comes up, and he doesn't express his opinion, he lets the lesser knowledgeable people express that they don't know what they're talking about. And this guy knows what the din is. So the Pasuk speaks about both, that they both deserve an Einish. Yeah. The one who is not entitled to Paskin, he doesn't know enough out of Paskin. That's like a Nefel. Those who will lose their lives, because they don't express their opinion. They should have Paskin. And how, when is a person considered Tamachachm Shalai Higir Lohairo? So, one might have thought he has to know all the Gemaras. He has to know all of Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a Davar Pasha, but there's a minimum age. Also, the Atkama, how old do you have to be that you should be called a Tamachach Meshigil Hayra? So the Gemara, Ad Arboin Shnin, till 40 years. So this, the Taptaisis has a discussion. What do you mean till 40 years? Till the age of 40? Oh no, he didn't start learning the day he was born. When does he start learning Gemara? The Mishnah says he start learning Gemara at the age of 15. By us, when the boy is 15, he probably doesn't understand Gemara, just translating the words. Probably he starts learning. At the age of 20, he starts on 18, 19, let's say 18. 18, he starts to understand Gemara. So you have to add 40 years after 18 is when he's 58. So no one can pass on any shahs before the age of 58. I was once talking to Hera Chagasmich in the yeshiva. So I was talking about this thing, so Dr. Liam almost got a heart attack. What do you mean? You can't pass Kanani Shilas? They give smicha to people when they're 25, 26, and they go out and they pass Kanani Shilas. So the Gemara is going to discuss it over here. The Gemara is going to discuss it. So the Taptaisa says, Ad Aboin Shnin till 40 years after you started learning. Doesn't mean till the age of 40. That's how the Taisa over here says. And it's based on the Gemara Navoi Dezara that Taisa quotes. Maimon HaSinai was 7 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim on Shavuos, and then after 40 years of roaming around in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the end of Chumash Devarim, he didn't really understand Torah until today. Why didn't they understand Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu has been teaching the Torah for the last 40 years. So that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. You see from that Pasuk, Tosfos quotes the Pasuk. From that pasuk you see that sometimes lokoyim inish adaita derabbi ad aboin shnin. Sometimes a person doesn't fully understand, he doesn't appreciate what the Rebbe said till 40 years later. There are many things that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, and I was a pretty good Talmud. I didn't understand it till 40 years later. Taka. Now he's looking at Gemara. Oh, that's what he said. It's an often a Mishnah. It's an often a Taisus. Yeah, a lot of times it takes 40 years till you begin to understand.
But in the Midbar, there are only two people who are the same at the end of the 40 years as at the beginning of 40 years. Everybody died except for the two women.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Good question. I don't know.
The same clue is of passing in front of your Rebbe, where it's only a true Pesach versus what's in the Furish and the Shulchan Aruch. Aren't we make on that? They're saying it's a Shulchan Aruch, but it says it's not a true Pesach. So would that apply here with the 40 Shanim, that it's not referring to just knowing what the Kitzur would be, or it's a different type of Pesach, like what you're not allowed to do with Nei Rabba?
If it's a Beferish Pasuk, then it's not called Moira Halacha. But a lot of times you think it's a Beferish Pasuk, but the case is a little different. If you have a slight difference in the case, a lot of times the Halacha will be different. So you need it. It's also a judgment call.
Is this a person who takes upon himself to be like a rubber community? Like, let's say, you get a call from your mother, he has a Shiloh, or your wife has a Shiloh, and you can't answer a Shiloh? I don't understand.
Strictly speaking, you're not supposed to. Strictly speaking, no one, let's say, when Rav Moshe Feinstein was alive, so strictly speaking, no rabbi in New York, no one was allowed to pass on any shaylas. Everybody had to call up Rav Moshe Feinstein on all the shaylas.
And they did.
So they almost did. That would cripple him. It would be impossible for him to function. So it's self-understood that has to be within reason. If you have a city so big like New York City, everyone's going to call Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he won't be able to function. Right. That's what they say. Moshe used to write his telephone number on the back of the smichas that he used to get. Yeah. He used to give the student smicha in case they have a shadow, they should call him up. Yeah. It has to be within reason, this 40 years. So Artaisa says it doesn't mean till the age of 40, means 40 years after you started to begin to learn. So he started to learn at 18, so 40 years later, he's going to be 58. Taisa and Avodah Zarah, and that daf tones it down. That even though the mocker is from the Chumash, means 40 years after they began learning, but it doesn't mean that. It means age 40. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, age 40. Even though it really should have meant, like Artaisa said, 40 years after you began to learn.
Yeah, but maybe if you want to achieve, I'm not sure if you're able to achieve, maybe that's the rule. But if you settle for less, you don't have to wait 40 years.
No, but the Gemara says you're not allowed to paskin before 40, either before age 40. or before 40 years after you started learning, one or the other. So then the Gemara asked the Kasha, there's a Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin, there's a din of Zaka Mamre, that if it's Zaka Mamre, if the Bez Nagadol issues a psak on whatever, usually Bez Nagadol didn't issue a psak. Usually Bez Nagadol just sat and they learned, it was the international koilo of Klal Yisrael, and these people were preserving the Masorah of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's how the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Bez Nagadol Adi Amudi HaHairo, the Ikad Torah Shebal Peh, they transmit the Masorah from generation to generation. The Shaila will come up once, not like the Supreme Court that they pass on Shailas all the time. The Shaila will come up once every 5 years or so, so the Bez Nagadol will give a psak. But usually they wouldn't give a psak. Usually they didn't ask him Shailas, they asked the local rabbi Shaila. Whatever the local rabbi said is good enough. And every Shevet had its own Bez Nagadol. So every Bez Nagadol of every Shevet will pass him for that Shevet. The Torah says if you're going to have Divrei Rivas, Bisharach is going to be Krigarai, the people are going to be fighting with each other. Because he got a psak from one rabbi like this, and the other one got a psak from his rabbi like that. And it's going to cause machlokes. Then the Kamta B'Yalisa, you have to go to the Bez Nagadol. But under normal circumstances, they really went to the Bez Nagadol. So the Mishnah says there is a din if the Bez Nagadol gave a psak on those rare occasions. So any Talmud Chacham shehigia lo hayro who paskins against them in public, I know they made a mistake. How do I know? I marked their examination papers when they were going for smicha, and I know they passed with a 95, and this is part of the 5% that they never knew. Or they passed with a 65, and there's a lot, there's 35% that they didn't know. So I know that they're wrong. So I'm not allowed to follow the Psak of Bez Nagadol if I know that they're wrong, but I'm not allowed to paskin in public against them. I have to do it privately. If I know that they're wrong, I have to do it privately. Publicly, you're not allowed to paskin against them. And if you observe the sheet, if you observe the correct way, you know the correct way, you're going to do that in public, thus say the psak against the Bez Nagadol also. So the Mishnah says, you're only chayiv zaken mamre, he's only chayiv misa, if he's a chacham shehigia lo hayro. Let's say he's a young boy, he's a bar mitzvah bochi, he was just bar mitzvah yesterday, he gets up and he starts pontificating, I paskin the halacha is against the Bez Nagadol. So the Mishnah says, nimtza chumra kuloi. He's a little baby, he's only 13 years old, what do you mean he gets up and he paskin? A chutzpah on his part. So the fact that the Avera is kfula mechupeles, that he's so young, he says, lo higia lo hiroi, he doesn't know what it means, Shulchan Aruch. So he's off the hook, nimtza chumra kula, because the Avera is so chomer, so that's why he's not chai misa, because no one's going to listen to him anyway. If he's a chacham shehigia lo hiroi, then people are going to listen to him, so that's an Avera, he's paskening against the Bez Nagadol. So the Mishnah says the only time is Zakamam is Chayv Misa if he's a Chachm Shegiel or Vosteis a Chachm Shegiel or Iroh. So Rashi and the Mishnah in the end of Sanhedrin found Daf Peites. Rashi says he's 40 years old. Rashi quotes from this Gemara, he's 40 years old. Before the age of 40, he's called a Chachm Shelo Higiel or Iroh. The Rashi is problematic because the Gemara is going to say sometimes there are exceptions to the rule where a person may pass him before the age of 40. So how can Rashi write it as if it's an ironclad rule? That the definition of a chacham shelo higil ayra means before the age of 40. Right. So there are exceptions to the rule. So apparently that's what motivated the Rambam to read a different shot in the Gemara. So the Rambam understood the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that the definition of a chacham shehigil ayra means a chacham who has smicha. Whoever doesn't have smicha, whatever he says is not called a psak. It's not called hayro. So no one's going to listen to him anyway. But if he has smicha, then does heista hayro, then it's called the psak. So then if he paskins against the Bez Nagadol, then it's chayv misa. So this is the original Gemara, that before the age of 40, or before 40 years after he started learning, however you read the Gemara, you're not allowed to paskin a shayla, even if you know how to learn. Freg the Gemara akasha, eini, how can it be? For harabba oiri, Rabba Abaye was the nephew of Rabba. So Rabba and Abaye, they were kohanim. Their family were kohanim. And they were for the Bnei Eli, so they died at the age of 40. They died, that was a curse that was in Chol Marbis Beischi Yamusu Anoshin. All the descendants of Eli died by the age of 40. But Rabbah was a Pesach for many years. If you're not allowed to paskin before the age of 40, or before 40 years of learning, his whole career was before the age of 40. He died at the age of 40. How can it be? And for the Gemara Bishovim, there are certain cases when you are allowed to paskin, what exactly does it mean, Bishovim? So here, Rashi has a strange pshat. Taisus says, the only time, on Chod Beis and Beis, so Taisus says, the only time we say that you're not allowed to paskin before the age of 40 is if there's a local rabbi in the community who knows how to paskin and he's over 40, and I'm in the community, I'm younger than 40, so then what do they need me for? We shove him. He knows how to paskin as well as I can, so I should not paskin. But if we're not shove him, if rabbi knows how to learn better than the local Orthodox rabbi, so even though the local rabbi is 50 and rabbi is 30, rabbi should paskin because it's einam shovim. The Gemara answers, b'shov him, the din that you shouldn't paskin before the age of 40 is if you shove it to the rav ha'ir, and the rav ha'ir is over 40, so they don't need you to paskin, so don't paskin. But rabbi was not shove, rabbi was ahead, he was much advanced. He knew how to learn better than the Mara d'Asra, so therefore rabbi should paskin even before the age of 40. That's the Pashup shot. So Rashi has a different shot, but that's what Tosis learns here. Right. That's why they're right. That's why the Tosis and Abed Azara learns. It doesn't mean like our Tosis 40 years after you started to learn, but Abayim Labina. That's right.
Not a smith. He gets a smith. He's able to teach us already. No, that's the time he's musmach to.
That's what we assume.
It could be he's 25 or 30.
No, but the Gemara still says you don't fully understand until the age of 40. So you shouldn't paskin. The yeshiva gives smicha to young people, and they travel to Albuquerque, they travel to Milwaukee, wherever. So there's no rabbanim there at all. So you have no brera. It's not shovim. There isn't a local rabbi who knows how to paskin as well as I do. The only one who knows anything is the rabbi that you send it. So then the Gemara says it's mutter. You have no brera, then it's mutter. So then the Mishnah and Chofam and Aleph gave, Rabbi Shua gave the last two lines in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shua gave a list of people who are mevalei olam, they ruin the world. So one was the chosid shoita. The fellow doesn't want to save the girl who's drowning because she's not properly dressed, she's wearing a swimsuit. And then you have the Rosh Ha'orim, the people who know Shulchan Aruch, and they abuse the system, they misuse the halacha. What is the Isha Prusha? Isha Prusha, a fruma woman whose frumkeit is just covering up on her kishuv, on whatever else, on whatever aveira she's doing. So you say it's a rare case, okay. So it's rare. So the Mishnah said, these people are mevalei olam. And then the last one mentioned in the Mishnah is Makos Prushim. Prushim means Tzadikim, Chasidim, and Makos means people who have bruises and injuries on their body because of their Frumah Shtick. So who are these? Are terrible. These are the terrible things, the people, terrible people, Mevalei Olam, they ruin the whole world. Who are the Makos Prushim? So the Gemara is going to explain who it is on the top of Chav Beis Amid Beis, on the second line. Makos Prushim, people who have injuries on their, have bruises on their body because of their precious, because of their Chasidim. What is it referring to? Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says, Shiva Prushim Heim. There are seven categories. Rabbi Kevege tells you to look in the Yerushalmi and Brachas, that it lists off there a similar Brisa, there are eight categories. Okay. Yerushalmi is a bigger, more expanded form. Bad enough to seven in the Bavli. So the Bavli has seven people who have bruises on their body, who are fakers, and they're making believe the bruises are an indication of their precious, their chasidus, and their tzidkus, and their fake Yerushalayim. Who are they? The first one is Parish Shichmi. He's like Anshe Shchem. The second one is Parish Nakfei. We're going to, Rashi says, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these seven terms. Third one is Parish Kizai. The fourth one is Korish Meduchya. The fifth one is Korish Machavasib Asenu. And the sixth and the seventh, there are seven altogether, a parish miyav, a parish miyura. So we're going to see what each one means slowly. Parish shichmi, what does it mean? Zeh ha'oise ma'isa shchem. What was ma'isa shchem? So Rashi explains, the anshe shchem, shchem ben chamor attacked Dina bas Yankov. And then the father came to Yankov Avinu, and he said, my son fell in love with your daughter, maybe we can negotiate a shidduch. So Yankov Avinu didn't know what to say, so he waited till his children came home. So the children said to Shechem, to the father, Chamor, Shechem ben Chamor, so they said to the father, assist to get marry a goy, if your son will convert, so then there's what to talk about. So Shechem got all the people in the city, they all converted. But the whole thing, it was a gear, shalai kalacha. They just did a bris milah, but they didn't have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. The essence of Geiris is Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs.
He said, and the Chumash said, that we'll mix with them, we'll get that business, and we'll benefit from that.
Right, he was explaining that if the law converts, it'll be beneficial business-wise. And Lamaisa, the Pasuk says, they underwent the Geiris, they did the Milah, but they didn't have the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. They were still worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that Geiris is worthless. There was some professor who published a book a couple of years ago that the requirement for Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs by a Ger was invented, the Chumer was invented by the Beis Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish was the Rav in Lemberg in 1850. He was the first one who came up with this idea that you need Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs for a Ger. It's a joke. That's the story of Chumash. That's the story of Chumash by Shechem. Anshei Shechem converted, and there was no, the whole thing was Shelo Lishma. Rashi says Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. That's a machlokes in the Gemara, the end of the second parak Yevamos. Let's say a non-Jew fell in love with a Jewish girl, and then he studies about Judaism, and then he converts, or he wants to get a high position in the Israeli government, in the Israeli army, or whatever. So he converts, or let's say he's being attacked by lions. The Gemara talks about Geri Arayis. Because of the story in Tanakh, let's say a non-Jew, the Kusim, they were moved from the city Kusa, Eretz Yisrael. Then they were being attacked by lions, and it was irregular. It didn't make sense. There are no lions in Eretz Yisrael, so they took it as a simon min hashamayim that the God of the Jewish people is Elokei Haaretz, and they better convert to Judaism, or the lions are going to devour them. So they converted to Judaism. So in all of these cases, is the ger is good or not? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara in the end of the second parak in Yevamos, towards the end of the second parak. We paskin that lechatchila a bezin should not accept the ger if he has some ulterior motive. The bezin always asks the girl, do you have any boy in mind? Or they ask the boy, do you have any girl in mind? So that if they say yes, so the bezin, the proper bezin, should not be mekabel such a ger. You're not supposed to lechatchila. But what if b'di'eved? The non-Jew fell in love with a Jewish girl, and then he started looking into Judaism, and he studied, and he sees what it is, and he's prepared to commit himself, and he believes in the story of Maimon Hasina. He heard that all the Jews, all the generations believe in this, and he accepts it. He accepts Bria Soilam and Maimon Hasina, Tzias Mitzrayim, and he accepts to observe all the Taryag Mitzvahs. But his motivation was not sincere. What motivated him in the first place was Shaloi Lishma. But bottom line, now he's mekabel al mitzvah. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. We paskin b'di'eved, it is good. Even though it's shaloi l'shmo, even though the motivation was not l'shem shemai, b'di'eved, it would be good. Here, the Gemara says, anshei Shechem, the geiris was nothing. It was worse than shaloi l'shem shemai, like Rashi says. Shaloi l'shmo would be a halbitzor, that l'chatchili shouldn't be mekabel such a geir, but b'di'eved, it would be good. The story of Shechem was, there was no kabbalas on mitzvahs. They just did superficially maisa geiris. And they didn't mean it. They didn't really accept any mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Parish Shichmi, if a person is a Parish, Chassidus, Midas Chassidus, and Precious, and Chumris, but it's all Shalal Lishmo, it's all a fake. Yeah. He's not really religious. He's one of them Mevali Olam. He's fooling people into believing that he's a Parish and a Chassid, and he really isn't. Zahoy Semaisa Shchem. Who's the Parish Nikvi? Hamankif esraglov. A person shows how young people like to run around and be active, and older people are older and more serious and more tamed down, so they walk very slowly. Rashi writes they walk ekev b'tzad gudl. Instead of walking psia gedola, so they walk psia ktana. They walk very slowly. So the guy, because he's walking so slowly and taking baby steps at a time, because he acts like such a serious rabbi, like an elderly gentleman, what's a serious guy, so he keeps on bumping his feet. If you walk normally, so you won't bump your feet anywhere. If you're walking so slowly and so such baby steps, so you may bump your feet into pebbles on the road. So the Rashi says, Hamankif ragla mahalach b'shiflus, as if he's such a humble person. He walks eke b'tzad gudl. When he takes, let's say, he puts his right foot forward, so the heel of the right foot is touching right where the toe, the big toe is. He doesn't stretch his legs. He doesn't go psio gedol. Everything is psio ktana. Ve'edem erem ragel menorz, he schleps along. U'mitoch kach, because he's walking so slowly, menakef etz b'oisa b'avonim. he bumps his toes, he's not wearing shoes apparently, so he bumps his toes into the pebbles on the road. So that's one of the fakers. The Brice is going to list off seven fakers who are prushim. They put on an act as if they're from a chassidim. So one of them, his body is bruised because he's mankef es ragla, because of the shtick that he walks so slowly. What is parash kizoy, the third one? What's it does? So Rashi says he doesn't want to look at women. He doesn't want to look at women. So when he passes by a good-looking woman, say, close his eyes. Close his eyes. So he's going to bump into the. He's going to bump into the wall.
Huh?
Yes. Yes.
I've seen it. You know, when the guy goes, he head like this.
So they bump into things. Yeah. My wife tells me there used to be a frum chassidish fellow in her neighborhood. So every time he would walk by, he would walk with his sister in the street. They're both single teenagers. So he would walk. So he would, whenever he would pass by the church, so he would say, he closed his eyes, not allowed to look at the church, but he was afraid he was going to fall. So the sister had to hold his arm. He used to say, "Elf mitzu, ich bin blind." Closes his eyes, he can't, not allowed to look. So that's what the Gemara says, that's a shtus. When you're walking, you don't close your eyes. If there's a woman there, say you try to avoid looking at the woman. There's a church, so you don't look at the church. But to close your eyes and then to bump your head on the walls because you closed your eyes, so that's a parush kizoy. That's a parush kizoy. So that's a fruma shtick that the Tanoim were unhappy about. Then you have parush meduchya. What is a parush meduchya? Zog de Gemara, his midas chasidus is Amar Abba Bar Sheila, the mishapeya, his body is bent over ki meduchya. And meduchya, Rashi says, is a hammer. A hammer has a stick and it has the thing a right angle to the handle. So a person is such a onov, he walks over, bent over like this. So that's a stupidity, the Gemara says. That shtick, that's a frum shtick. A person should walk normally. You ever see Rav Al Yashiv walk? Very tall, straight. Now he's over 100 years old. But I remember 40 years ago, the first time I saw Rav Yashiv walking in the street, very tall, thin, very thin. Always very, with a very good posture. And he sat and learned all the time. He didn't learn like this. He learned like this. Mm-hmm. When he walked in the street, he walked with a tall posture, the way he's supposed to walk. So the Gemara complains, this is one of the seven. The Parish Meduchya, his body's in the shape of a Meduchya. The body in the shape of a hammer. He's bent over in an unusual, exaggerated fashion. Then another one is terrible. Terrible is Parish Machabasi Be'asena. The parush was always asking, "What does the halacha require of me? Tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I'll do it." So the Gemara said, "What's so bad about that? That's wonderful. Halavai, everyone should ask, Rabbi, what's the din? Tell me what the din is, and I'll do it." Freg the Gemara, "Hamal Yusahi. Why is he one of the seven prushim who are mevali oilam that they ruin the world?" So the Gemara named Ella. Not that he says, "Machoy vasi ve'esena. What am I obligated to do, and I'll do it?" No, Ella diyama machoy vasi su ve'esena. He's bragging. I kept all the mitzvahs. What more am I supposed to do? I think I've already observed everything there is to observe. So the guy's bragging that he does so many mitzvahs. He's such a frumah yid. A person is bragging about how frum he is. Mistam, he's covering up on something. A religious person doesn't brag about how frum he is. Frum, in Europe, frum means one who displays his religiosity in public. In America, frum means observant. But in Europe, frum meant a person who's advertising how observant he is. So that's why in Lithuania, the word used to be, agalach has to be frum, aid has to be erlach. Galochim had to advertise, they had to put on an act to show how religious they are. A Jew doesn't have to publicize how observant he is. So that's what the Gemara is saying. All of these seven people, that's what they all have in common. The advertising, the first few, they're publicizing how observant they are. Then they used to say, Frum is the Rosh HaTevis. Fil rishis veinig mitzvahs. Fil, in Yiddish. Fil rishis. A lot of rishis and veinig mitzvahs, very few mitzvahs. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. All of these prushim, these are what in Europe they used to use the term Frum. In America it has a different... Today you say a person is Frum... We mean it l'tayva, mean is a mila, but in Europe and Lithuania it was a negative connotation.
Spiritual.
Then the last two, the Gemara says, first the first seven are all from Mishtik, and the last two are Parish Me Ahava and Parish Me Yira. What does it mean, Parish Me Ahava? A person who observes the mitzvahs Me Ahava. What do you mean, Me Ahava? So Rashi explains it doesn't. Rashi says, Parish Me Ahava, Me Avas Haschara mitzvahs. Lo Me Avas mitzvahs Haberi. Not that he loves the Rebbeinu Shlom so much that he wants to do all the mitzvahs. That's marvelous. If he does the mitzvahs me'avas Hashem, that's the highest level, to do mitzvahs me'ava. He does mitzvahs me'avas haschar, and parish me'ira, he abstains from doing averis because he's afraid he'll be punished in Gehenim. So the Braisa says, these two tegen eichenisht. That's terrible. So the Gemara says, Omer le'abai v'rova le'tana, atana Rabbi Kiva Rablaz Manazar, you're aptar from these betanoim. The Gemara uses the word Tana in a different sense. A person who lives in the days of the Amoraim, who knows how to recite Brises, who knows how to recite Mishnais. That's also called a Tana. So when the Amora recited this Brisa, that there were seven Prushim, and they're all Mevali Oilam, they all destroyed, they ruined the world. So Abai V'Rava, both Omele Abai V'Rava L'Tana, they both told this, the Amora who recited this Brisa, we think you should leave out the last two. The first five have from Mishtik, they're Mevali Oilam. But this thing, Parish Me Ava, Parish Me Yira. You should leave out the last two, it's not correct. And you have to change the gears. Instead of Shiva Prushim Haim, it should say Chamisha Prushim Haim. Because the last two, there's nothing wrong. Why? What so? Why? Because even Parish Me Ava, if a person abstains from doing Averis because of Avas Haschar, or Parish Me Yira, he refrains from doing Averis because of Yira Sa'inesh, it's also, what's so bad about that? The highest level is to do mitzvahs and to observe mitzvahs, me'avas Hashem. But if a person does mitzvahs in order to get reward, or he doesn't do averus in order not to be punished, that's wonderful also. What's so bad? Omer Rav Yud Omer Rav, Liyolam Yasekar Amater Mitzvahs Hafidu Shalol Lishma, Shemitach Shalol Lishma Baal Lishma. That's not such a disaster. They're not Meval Yoyim. So that's what Abai Barav said, you should cross out the last two. Here Tosis has a famous kasha. Rashi, Tosis, all the Rishonim asked the kasha, Liyolam Yasekodam. So for Tosis Akasha, there is a Gemara in Tainus and Dav Zayin that if a Samtem is Dvar Ayela, we should learn Torah. So Torah is a Samtem. The Samtem, Pashup Shad, the Samtem is, you should place the Divrei Torah Al Vavecha. You should learn Torah. You should always be thinking and learning. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Samtem, the Liman HaTorah is a Samtam, it's a healthy medication, it's a healthy medicine for the person who learns Torah Lishma. But if a person learns Torah Lishma, then it's a Sam HaMavis. For the one who learns Lishma, it's a Sam Chayim. For the one who learns Shalom Lishma, it's a Sam HaMavis. So Torah says, why should it be a Sam HaMavis? As the Gemara says, not so bad. You should cross out, Abai V'Rava says, you should cross out the Parish Me'ira, cross out the Parish Me'Yavas Haschar, because Liyolim Yasekar Amater Mitzvah Shalol Lishma, Tzoch Shalol Lishma Baal Lishma. So why does the Gemara say it's Nasa Sam HaMavis? Then there's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin. Whoever learns Torah Shalol Lishma, Noechla would have been better for him, Shalai Nivra. He would have been happier, it would have been better that he shouldn't have been born at all. Why better he shouldn't be born at all? The Gemara says it's not so bad if you do Mitzvah Shalol Lishma. So Tosis says, so Tosfos says there are different kinds of Shalol Lishma. If the guy does the mitzvahs, that people should respect him, and he learns Torah, that he wants a position in Rabbanus, he's not... Kadam Lach Baba, so that's not so bad, Tosfos says. He does it for Parnassah, so that's not so bad. But if he learns Torah, Lekanter, he learns Torah in order to... he's preparing the Gemara to slug up the rabbi. The rabbi is going to give a drasha, the rabbi is going to give a shir, he wants Lekanter, he wants to show him off. To show him up that the rabbi does not learn. So Lekanta, that's the worst kind of Shalol Lishma that you're not allowed to do. That's what Tosfos says. Many Rishonim say like that. The Netziv has an original suggestion. He has it in a lot of his Svarim. He has it in his commentary on Chumash, and he has it in the Tshuvas, Halacha Lamais, and he has it in his commentary on Shir Hashem. He has it in a few places. He says, to learn Torah Shalol Lishma is not so bad, but to be Mechadish Shalol Lishma, that's awesome. Mechadish has to be that min hashamayim, an idea fell into your head. But if a guy sits and he wants to be mechadish, I remember there was a fellow, He was learning a Gemara the first time in his life, and he was sitting with a pen and a pad, and he was going to write a sefer. He was going to publish a sefer. First time he ever learned a Gemara in his life. That's right, Shaina sefer. So that's not right. He was planning to be Mechadesh in order to print the sefer. So that you're not allowed to do. If you have a Chiddush, Menashemai, Mehechetese. But to kvetch until you get a Chiddush, in order to publicize it, in order to gain honor and glory, that's not proper. So that's what the Netziv extrapolates from that. Halacha l'maaseh, he says, if you need a shul in the neighborhood, so you're allowed to found a shul, you have no choice. But let's say there are enough shuls in the neighborhood, but I never get shlishi, I never get chazak, and I'm such a big talmid chacham, I'm going to found a shul, I'll always get shlishi, I'll get aseres adibus. So to found a shul, or I'm going to, there are enough yeshivas in the neighborhood, I'm going to found a yeshiva that my son-in-law should have a place to teach. There are enough yeshivas, if there are enough yeshivas to cover all the students. So that's not a cause to found the yeshiva.
We just need more talmidim. We currently have enough yeshivas.
Okay, we need more talmidim, yeah. Here the Rambam, they tell you where the Rambam has this din in Hilchas Talmud Torah. So the Rambam did not have the girsa that we have. We have the girsa in the Gemara, L'yolam yasekar matara uve mitzvus afilu shalol lishma. The Gemara says that both on Lima HaTorah and on Shmiras HaMitzvahs, you should always do Ima Shalol Lishma, Shemitoch Shalol Lishma Bo Lishma. The Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah clearly had a different girsa, because the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak around Av Zayin, where the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ein Tchilas Dina Shalodim El Al Divrei Torah. After a person dies and he goes to the Olam HaEmes, so the first question they're going to ask him is whether he learned Torah properly. Ein tchilas dina shalodim, and the yom hadin is going to be al divrei Torah. So the Rambam writes, lefichach omer chachamim liolam yasek konem haTorah afilu shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Because since the tchilas dina shalodim is going to be al divrei Torah, so you better learn even if it's going to be shelo lishma. So the Rambam links this memra shelo lishma bo lishma. He links it with the maimer and the gemara, puts it together in one halacha. Because ein tchilas dina shalodim al divrei Torah, therefore you should learn Torah. He clearly did not have the girsa, the Torah uve mitzvahs. So that's what the Avnei Nezer was, a chassidish rebbe, sachat shav rebbe. So he has a sefer on Hilchas Shabbos that's called Egle Tal. So in the Hakdamah to the sefer, he has a whole shtickel Torah based on this Rambam. He's bothered with a kasha that's very questionable whether it's a kasha or not. Yes, the kasha, there is a machlokes in the Gemara and brachas and Megillah and many mesichtas. Rav Shoshana, whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or mitzvah sen tzrichas kavana. So, frekta akasha, if you, and there are three different opinions. Some opinions hold yes, no, and some hold mitzvahs deraisa need kavana, mitzvahs derabbanan don't need kavana. Three different opinions. So, the Egle Tal is bothered with akasha. If you all like those, we show him that mitzvahs need kavana. If the fellow's going to do the mitzvah, shalom lishma, isn't there a lack of kavana? It's a question whether that's even a question. What has one got to do with the other? The Shema versus Shalom Lishma means what motivated me to do the mitzvah. I know it's a mitzvah. I would rather sleep late in the morning, and I would rather not, and there is no minyan, there is no 10 o'clock minyan. I would rather sleep late in the morning and daven later. I would be lazy, I wouldn't put on talis and tefillah, I wouldn't daven. I have a job in the yeshiva, they'll fire me. If they say I don't come, so I have no choice. So I have to come to Minyan on time. So I put on the talis and tefillin. What motivates me to put on the talis and tefillin, come to Minyan on time, is I want to keep my job. Shalom l'shma. But l'maisa, I know that it's a mitzvah. I know that's the right thing. That's what you're supposed to do. So why is that a contradiction? The motivation is shalom l'shma. I'm doing the mitzvahs that they shouldn't fire me from the yeshiva. But I have kavanah. Lot says, if not for the shalom l'shma motivation, I would not have done the mitzvah, despite the fact that I know that there's mitzvah. So why is that really a contradiction? That's problematic. The Avnei Nezer considers that a kash. You have the Sfasemis also. Sfasemis was from the same chabura as the Avnei Nezer. They used to learn, there was a period of time that they all learned together in the same base medrash. Avnei Nezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe, no? And the Sfasemis learned there also for a while in Kotzke, I think. So they're all in the same Spanish. So the Sfasemis also has this kasha. I'm Psochim. The Gemara has this. One of the Mekoros is Psochim Dafnun. So the Sfasemis, I'm Psochim, has this kasha also. So the Avnei Nezer, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that the kasha was a mistake. He said, "Liola miyasa gada matar mitzvah shalol lishma," means my motivation is not pure. I'm motivated to perform the mitzvah shalol lishma. I'm afraid I'll lose my job. But he still has kavana lotze, so his mitzvah sichas kavana is not a contradiction to this. So the Avnei Nezer considers this a kasha, and he says the teretz is that the Gemara says, even if you hold mitzvah sichas kavana, you do a mitzvah without kavana, you're not yotze, but the Rishonim say, let's say you ate matzah without kavana. So the Gemara says, since he gets hanoa from eating the matzah, you can't say that he's that the mitzvah sichas kavana. Just like we have a klal, misasik b'chalav marayis chayv shekein nehene, if a person did an aver, been misasik, he didn't realize what he was doing. So that's not farechent as an aver, he doesn't even have to bring a chatos. So if a person does a mitzvah bin misasik, so he's not yoytze. But if he gets hanoah from it, hol venene. Since he gets hanoah, so you have to relate it to him. So that's what the Egle Talian says. He says, when a person learns Torah, the mitzvah bishlei Musa is if you enjoy the learning. If you don't enjoy the learning, it's a lower level. There are those who think that if you enjoy the learning, it's considered limud shaloi lishma. Lishma has to be that it's boring and you don't enjoy it. So he said, that's ridiculous. When a person understands it, so he enjoys it. So he's supposed to enjoy it. Every day we say the bracha, v'harv na'ashem lakein is diris ha'rascha b'finu fi'amcha. We should enjoy it. It should be pleasant. That's part of the bracha. You don't say harv na shaking a lulav. You don't say harv na putting on talis and filling. You only say harv na. And liman atar is supposed to have. Well, why is it supposed to have pleasure? Because a person should realize when he's learning Torah, he's lifnei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now revealing himself. The Gemara has a Masechah Shabbos that Anochi Hashem Elokech, Anochi is a Rosh Hitevis, in the beginning of Aseres Adibris. Rosh Hitevis, Avano, Nafshi, Ksovis, Yehovis. The Rebbe Shalom says, I gave you the Torah, and I dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the text of the Chumash, I'm revealing what my whole essence is. The whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, is a description of Elokus, Shmoisov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the closer when a person learns Torah, he's understanding more what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. He comes to be more in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's getting a glimpse of what Elokus is all about. And that's what the Tanakh says. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem. When a person is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ein atzvus lefnei Amokim. The Gemara in Chagiga says. It says, hoyd v'hada lefanov, oyz v'chedva b'mekoymoy. Chedva, rejoicing, so when the person is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when a person learns Torah, the Gemara says, Shechina kenegdoi. The Gemara says in Tomit, the end of Masech is Tomit, Aloi metar balayla, Shechina kenegdoi. The Shechina is there. It means he's understanding better what Elokus is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself to the person through Liman HaTorah. When a person is Lefnei Hashem, that engenders Simcha. Simcha is always a Smachtam Lefnei Hashem Elokech, when one is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says, that the simcha that a person enjoys when he understands Torah, that enhances the mitzvah. Adarabba, you're supposed to enjoy the learning. You're supposed to have anua from it. It doesn't take away from the lishma. It does make it into shalom lishma. It enhances the learning. So that's what he says. Whenever you do any other, the Rambam's opinion, whenever you do any other mitzvah, shalom lishma, taigis nish, because mitzvah sichas kavana. But alimah ha-Torah, when you learn Torah and you enjoy it, so then hoel venene, just like misasik b'chalov m'arayis chayv shekein nehene, so by limah ha-Torah, if he learns shalom lishma, also shekein nehene, so the mitzvah does relate to him. That's his chiddush. He explains the Rambam. That's why the Rambam had the girsa in the Gemara. Rambam clearly had a different girsa, because the Rambam connects it with Ein chilas didin shelo demel adibre Torah lefichach amr chachamim liyola miasakana matara shelo lishma p'tel shelo lishma bol lishma. The Rambam only quotes it by Talmud Torah. It doesn't quote it by other mitzvahs. So that's what the Egle Tal claims. Only applies to liman Torah because of the hanor. Torah
is just to mean
Mashiach is not that. Yeah. Cheerful. So Liman HaTorah is supposed to be Meshivas, not supposed to be cheerful. So that's what Abai Verov commented, that the Brisa lists off seven Frumishtik. So Abai Verov said the last two are not Frumishtik. The last two, we have no complaints. If a person learns, does mitzvahs, Meyira, what's wrong? He does mitzvah from Yerushalayim. He doesn't want to bury me a hanim. That's not so bad. What's wrong? He doesn't do the mitzvah me'avas Hashem. He does me'yira. So what's so bad? And a person does the mitzvah me'avas haschar. So it's a mitzvah shelo lishma. So we assume that's not so bad. Not so bad. Abchaim Alojana has a comment on the Loshan Agmar li'oila mi'asakodim. He says we should always encourage people. Li'oila means when a little child starts to learn, so he promised the child if you learn the chumash, we'll give you candy. Then the child gets a little older, so candy is not good enough, so you have to give him a quarter. Then he gets a little older, he wants a dollar. He wants more. Then he gets a little older, he wants COVID. The older you are, so you want a different reward. But we always encourage, we always encourage people to learn and to do mitzvah shalom lishma, different candies at different stages in people's lives. We promise them different. If you do this mitzvah, we're going to put a plaque on the wall. We're going to say in honor of so-and-so. We're going to make it a guest of honor. Whatever, if you give enough money to the yeshiva. So you always encourage people to do mitzvah shalom lishma. Because nitazo yefelech. Li'olam means at all stages in life. That's how he claims the pshat. Amar Abdachim Bayitzchak, he has a comment on all of these fakers, on all of the five prushim, the five frume, the five people, leaving out the last two, the five who have the frume shtick, and they're putting on an act as if they're so frum. So he says, de mitamra, mitamra. Those people who have, mitamra means hidden, hidden. Those people have hidden agendas, they're putting on shtick. Their appearance seems to be that they're medaktik and mitzvahs, and they're not. So what can we do? So it's hidden from us. We don't know what to do. Ude megalia, megalia. Whatever a person, it's obvious that he's putting on shtick. So we see it. So beidina rabbi lispar mehana dechofu gundi. The bezna gadol should be able to detect. What do you mean beidina rabbi? The bezna gadol means the bezna shalmaila. We don't. How can the Bezin Shalmata figure out who is putting on shtick? Beidina Rabba let the Bezin Shalmaila means Lispara should punish Mihani from those people. The Chofu Gundi. Gundi means Abikovadika Malbush. Those people who put on a beged Shalfrumkite and they're really fakers, so the Bezin Shalmaila should punish them. Even though the human beings are the Mitamra Mitamra, whatever hidden agenda he has in his heart, we can't tell. But the Bezin Shalmaila, the Beidina Rabba, the great Bezin of heaven, knows how to judge everything. So the Gemara concludes with this story. Yana HaMelech was a Meshugana. Yana HaMelech was a descendant from the Malchus Chashmonaim. So so Rashi tells you the end of the story here. Rashi says when he was on his deathbed, he used to raise the chayin with the Tanoim. He killed a lot of Tanoim. And his wife was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. So they killed all the Tanaim except for his brother-in-law. He didn't kill Shimon ben Shetach. So when he was about to die, so his wife was afraid that they're going to kick her out. Her husband was a terrible tyrant. So they couldn't. He would kill anybody who disagreed with him. So his wife was afraid she's not going to kill anybody. So she was afraid they baby misalika from the Malchus. So he told his wife on his deathbed, that's how Rashi interprets, Oma lo yanai malka lidivise, he told his wife is Shlom Tzion Amalka, so he told her, Al tisorei min aprushim, don't be afraid of the frume rabbis, they're okay, then the erlicha people, they're not going to start up with you. And I hang out with the linker, he was an apikiris, so he says, don't be afraid of the linker, they're my good friends. The ones, v'loi mimisha ein aprushim, don't be afraid of the reform. They're not going to start up with you because I'm buddy-buddy with them. Element atzvuim. You got to watch out from the hypocrites. Shedaimim leprushim, they put on an act as if they're frum. Shemasem kemaisa zimri, they do averis. Mevakshim schar kepinchas, they want to get rewarded. So what does it mean? So Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat, Rashi writes right before the Mishnah. East ikad the meforis, some interpret, lenient sneusa means that they violate, like Zimri violated. He had an affair with the Nochris. So he says, some interpret the Gemara, watch out for these fakers who put on an act as if they're rabbis with long kapatas, and they're just running around with women. And they put on an act like Pinchas, and really like Zimri, that they violate. And Yonit Sneus is a Loshen Nikia, means they violate Gilei Arayis. The other pshat, the first pshat, Rashi says, no, not lenient, gili arai. It just means, it's an expression. People are raising maise zimmer, they do averis, and they're actually schakid pinchas, they put on an act as if they're the big tzaddikim and they deserve to have reward.
The Pinchas Horowitz had a chazan. He insisted he wanted to get the same salary as the Rav.
He sings. He sings. He wants the same salary as the Rav. Uh-huh. So this is the original expression comes from this Gemara. The next Mishnah we already had previously, there was a machlekes satanoim. If the Eishes Ish was inside, the man brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, she drinks the Mayim HaMorim. So the Torah promises a miracle will occur that if she's guilty, she will die for the Mayim HaMorim. Mayim HaMorim has no poison in it. It doesn't taste good because he mixed in a Dova Mar. The Gemara said, that's on the top of Chof and Medalef. You have to mix in some chemical that makes it bitter tasting. And you have in the Karka Mishkan, you have a little sand mixed in. But the sand is not poisonous. So the Torah promises a miracle, Adoris, that the woman will die. So now there's a Machlokes Satanoim. The previous Mishnah said that if she has a zechus, if she did some, and the Gemara said it must be the zechus of Torah, it can't be the zechus of mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs, you don't get such a zechus. Must be in the zechus of Torah. I, the Gemara says, but the women are not mechuyev to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, no, but she helped her husband. She was mezana on the husband's nose, but since she helped the husband and the children learn, so she deserves a reward for the zechus of Torah that she shares with the husband and with the children. So she has a schus of Liman HaTorah. So then the Gemara, the Mishnah said that it may be Megan 1, 2, 3 years. It could be Megan up until 3 years. The Gemara had a whole discussion, different opinions. That's how the Mishnah says the schus of Torah can be Megan until 3 years. So now Reb Shimon disagrees and he says, how can that be? The whole idea of the Mayim HaMorim, the woman should drink the Mayim HaMorim, and then we're going to know, is she Muteris Labailu, she Asur Labailu. If you're going to say the schus is Torah, she may live another 3 years. So she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, she walks out from the Beis HaMikdash, nothing happens. So how can you ever rely on the Mayim HaMorim? Shimon, I'm here. It doesn't make sense what you said in the previous Mishnah. Ein zchus toila b'mayim HaMorim. There is no such thing as zchus toila. If she's guilty, she violated lo sinov, she's going to die right away. Because im ha-toima zchus toila b'mayim HaMorim, if you're going to adopt your position, you claim the zchus is toila, mata ato es ha-mayim, if ne kol ha-nashim, you just weaken the whole pachad of drinking Mayim HaMorim. The whole idea is the husband is choshed, he's suspicious that his wife was having an affair, then he's going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. She won't be afraid of it. She was very involved in stock of a chesed, and she sent the children to yeshivas, and she's on the board of the yeshiva, and she makes the lunches in the yeshiva. She has a lot of schusim. So matat, you're weakening the whole pachad of the Mayim HaMorim. On number two, motzi ato shemra ala tohera sheshasu. What's going to be all the women? I don't know how many women there were. Maybe it could be hardly ever happened. But the Mishnah is talking as if every so often there was a husband who was choshed his wife, and he brought her to the Beis HaMikdash, they drank by Mamorim, and the woman walked out alive. So, Atamotzi La, Atamotzi Shemra, Ala Tohiras, on the innocent women who didn't sin at all, Sheshasu, they drank by Mamorim, nothing happened. So people will say, no, they were really guilty, nothing happened, because they had a lot of schusim. Shomrim, people would say Tameya, saying they really did violate Lesin, a fellow Shetosalem Schus. So Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yechai says it doesn't make sense what you're saying. No such thing as Schus. If the woman is guilty, she's guilty, and the miracle is going to happen. And Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe Omer, Yetainas Nishkantain, Haschus Toilab Mai Mamorim. What we said in the previous Mishnah, Chofam and Aleph, there is a concept of Schus Toilab up until 3 years. I said, how did the husband know that he's allowed to live with his wife? It says, "Veniko ish meyovan." After she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, her husband is now permitted, after kinu yastir, he's not allowed to live with his wife. It's an isur esei. And even if she's really innocent, he's not allowed to live with his wife. It's an isur vadai. He's not allowed to live with his wife because of the kinu yastir. But after the minute she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, she's already mataris labaila. Why? Maybe this chus was toila. So Rebbe says, no, that's not a kasha, what Reb Shimon asked. Because any yoled is veinim mishabachas. She's not going to get, if she was a skinny malinkin, she never had any babies. So the Torah promises, v'nixav and Israel Zor. She'll be able, a miracle will occur, she will be able to have a baby. So if this woman has a schus, that she should live another 3 years, the schus doesn't mean she's going to have a baby. She's not going to become healthier and fill out her body. she's going to take sick right away. She'll live another 3 years.
She'll mutcha
for the next couple. Ella misnavna vohelecha, she'll be sickly for a couple of years. Lesof, after the 3 years are up, he may suppose the misa, she'll die with this strange misa. She won't die from a heart attack or something else. She'll die this strange death that all of the satyrs would die. So that's the machlekes hatarayim. Rab Shimon denies the whole institution of schus toila. It doesn't make sense to him. And the other Tanaim think that it does make sense. How does the husband know that he's allowed to live with his wife after she drinks the mayim amar? Because he sees that she doesn't look sickly. She's not misnavna by lechas. She doesn't look sick at all. So now the Mishnah goes to discuss the details of the halacha. You bring the minchas kinda'os, you bring the mincha. Whenever you bring, there's a Mishnah in the end of Menachos. The name of the parak is HaMenachos van Sochem. When you magdish a korban oif or a korban behema, there is no korban for machaya, only behema v'yoif. So if you magdish a chatos oif, an oilos oif, or a shlamim or a pesach or a chatos or an oila, whatever korban you magdish, right away it gets a gdush zaguf lamizbeach. If you magdish HaMenachos van Sochem, it only gets what we call a gdush hazdamim lamizbeach. When you say, you have a bottle of wine, you say, harezel l'nesochem. Have a sack of flour, harezel l'menachos. So when you do the kedusha speh, you say harezel l'menachos, harezel l'nesachim. It only gets a kedusha domim lamizbech. Doesn't get a kedusha guf lamizbech till you put it into a klisharis. Once you put the mincha into a klisharis, once you put the yain into a klisharis, amenachos van sachim shikitcha bekli. If you put it into a klisharis, then it gets a kedusha guf lamizbech. What's the difference whether it only has kedusha domim lamizbech? Or you already put it into the klisharis hakedusha guf lamizbeach. So the difference is kedusha guf lamizbeach doesn't have any pidyon. Once it's kodesh leguf, doesn't have pidyon, unless it's a behema that develops a mum kavua. Let's say it's an oaf, and there is no institution of mum kavua by ofos. The din is tamas v'zachris bebehemas, then tamas v'zachris be'ofos. In birds, there's a male and a female, but by behemas, there's a male and a female, like by human beings, there's a male and a female. So a chatas has to be dafke and a keva, and an oiler has to be dafke a zocher. So what if you bring a chatas soif, an oiler soif? So the Gemara says this insistence on a zocher for an oiler and a nekeva for a chatas is only by behemoth. By oifas, there's no din of zocher versus nekeva. And there is a zocher, there is a nekeva, but the halacha doesn't insist that the chatasayf has to be in a keva, nor that the oilasayf has to be a zohar. That's called zachrus. And Thomas also, it says, all the karbonis have to be tomim, nomum. That's only by behemoth. By oifas, it doesn't, there is no requirement that it should be bilimum. If the oif has a mum, it's okay, you can be makar v'ran mizbech. Unless it's mechus a raver, unless mamish missing an eye, or missing a wing, or something like that. So that's, mechus a raver is a different psul. Mechus a raver is not a balmum. So that's the Losh of the Gemara. Thomas v'zachar is b'behema, and Thomas v'zachar is b'behema. There's no din of tamima by an oif. Even if it's a balmum, it's kosher, provided it's not mechus ha'ever. And there's no din of zachar versus nekeva. There is Thomas v'zachar. There is a zachar and a nekeva. But the chatas soif doesn't have to be a nekeva, and the oil soif doesn't have to be a zachar. So let's say if you're magdish an oif to a chatas soif or oil soif, or you magdish a behema to whatever korban, chatas, oil, shlomim, mashem, whatever it happens to be, Pesach. So when you magdish a behema, it gets right away kedush haguf lamizbech. It has no pinyon unless it develops a mum kavua. Mum kavua is only in behemas. And oifas, there's no din of mum kavua. And menachas and nesachim, there's no din of mum kavua. So menachas and nesachim, if you didn't put it into the klisharis yet, that only has kedush as damim lamizbech. So then if it becomes nitmo, you can be paida. It's only Kaddish L'damav. When you pay this, so the Hekdash is going to use the Damim. They'll take the money and they'll buy different Mincha. So that's what the Mishnah draws the contrast.
They're saying that the money attaches, the Kaddish attaches itself to the money.
Only to the value.
Value.
If I set aside a sack of flour to bring a Mincha, set aside a gallon of wine to bring Nisachim on the Mizbech as an independent Mincha.
So you write a check for that amount and you give it to...
Right, so the goof of the flour and the goof of the wine is not Kaddish Kedusha Guf Lamizbech, only the value is Kaddish Kedusha Damim Lamizbech. So they can auction it off to the highest bidder. They can auction off to the highest bid and give the money. You can be paid. But after you put the merachim and nesachim in a kli, then it gets a kedusha guflam is back, then it can't have any pidyon. Because kedusha guflam is back only has pidyon if it develops a mum kavua. Mum kavua is only behemoth. By yoifis, it doesn't exist. A merachim and nesachim v'hashtetzach, there is no mum. It's not shach to talk about mum. So that's what the Mishnah draws a contrast. What's the din? They brought the mincha soita, nitmeis minchasa achala kitcha bikli. What if the minchas soita became nitma before kiddush kli? Harei kechol manachas v'tifor, it's the same as any other mincha. Before kiddush kli, it only has kedushas damim lamizbeach, and you can be paided. You can't be makrevit if it's tameh. You can't be tovelet in a mikveh. Tefillah b'mikveh is only from the four things that are mekabel tumah. Odom mekelim ochlam amashkim. So only odom mekelim have tara b'mikveh. Ochlam amashkim have no tara b'mikveh. So if the mincha became nitmeis, it can have tarbi mikvah. So it can be makarit on the mizbeach. So if it's nitma before kiddush kli, you pay then, shine. It only has a kedusha on the value. So you substitute the money instead. However, v'imish kitcha b'kli, but if first you did the kiddush kli, and then it became nitma, harei kechol manachas v'tisarif, it has no pidyon, because after kedusha guf la mizbeach, there's only pidyon if it becomes balmum. Balmum is only by behemoth. So you have no choice. So you have a korban which you can't be makriv. So the din is that tisarif, it's a puzzle. If you have a puzzle, a korban. We already discussed, sometimes you burn karbanis because they're puzzle. Let's say pigal nisa tamah, you burn it. Where do you burn it? In the azara. And sometimes you have parim anasraf, mesirim anasrafim, you burn it. That's mitzvah sabekach. It's not puzzle. So whenever you burn it because mitzvah sabekach, then you burn it chutz l'sholosh machnas. Whenever you burn it because it's puzzle, then you burn it in the azara. The Mishnah says that it's a paradoxical. Yeah. Should have been pung faget. Should have been if you're burning the carbon ke mitzvasoi, then you should burn it in the azara. And if you burn it because pasu, you should have burned it somewhere else. So the Mishnah draws the contrast. No, a paradox. If you're burning pigal nasi tam, you're supposed to burn a davke in the azara. If you burn it because it's ke mitzvasoi, they burn a chutz l'sholosh machnas. Then the Mishnah gives you a list. The elu and the following cases. The following situations, you have a mincha saito, and you can't use it, so you have to burn it. It's an erek dusha saguf la mizbeach, because you put it into the kli, and you have to burn it. You brought it to the Beis Hamikdash, it's gone through the whole story, and they did, they were mekadesh the mincha and the kli, and then she says, I don't want to go any further. They're going to be makriv the mincha, I'm going to die. The miracle is going to happen. There was a machlekes whether she drinks the mai mamar before the mincha or after the mincha. But it doesn't make any difference. Let's say they're about to be makir of the mincha. She said, I can't go through with it. I have to admit that I'm guilty. So at the time that they were makarish the mincha and the kli, she hadn't yet admitted. So the kiddush kli was chal. So if she admits, there's no use in being makir of the mincha. Let's say a person is makdish a mincha and he drops dead. Let's say a ger. A ger is magdish mincha and he dies, and there is no yorish. A ger shemes vein leyoshim is no yorish. So you makir of the mincha without any bala korban. Let's say a ger is mafresh an oila shlomim and he dies. So you makir of the oila shlomim. There is no bala korban. If a person dies, so the korban is korban on behalf of the yorshim. Person dies, he has no yorshim. So it's a mishnah shkolim. You makir of the korban without any bala korban. But the mincha over here, a chatos can't go like that. A chatos. Right, a chatas and a noshim is only ba'al achet. So if the person died, ain't kapor l'meisim, and it can't be mechaper on the children, even if he has children, can't be mechaper the children. He was mafresh to his avera. They did other averas. So the chatas and the osham, if the ba'al korban died, you can't be makrivi. So the minchas soita is called like a minchas kenaos. Minchas soita, if a ger is mafresh a korban mincha and he dies and he has no yorshim, so you mark with the korban mincha on a bala korban. So it's not korban on behalf of anybody. It's a mincha without any bala korban. But over here, this is a mincha saita, a special mincha saita. It's bo min asoirim. It's not a normal mincha that's bo min achita. Mincha asoirim, so it's only bo, it's only offered if the saita is alive, the husband is alive. If the woman admitted that she's guilty, and the mincha saita is not going to be mevarer odvain, so it's like a chatas and a nashim. You can't be makriv it later. So you have no choice. You have to burn it. That's like a pigal noisa tummy. You have to burn it. The whole miracle is only promised if no one knows whether she's Tmeya Torah. Let's say Edom come. We started the whole ceremony. We made the mincha in a klisharis. And then two witnesses come. They read in the newspapers that they're going to have a whole case with a soita, so and so. So they shine in into the Beis Hamikdash. They say, we know the woman had an affair. So there's no use in bringing the mincha. This another mincha is bo b'nedova, but this mincha soita is not bo b'nedova. It's only bo levara ravain. Shabo leidim shitmeya. So then you can't be makir of the mincha. Here's a kasha the Gemara asked before in Davov. We learned it already. If the Gemara said before, if there's a soita, the miracle was only promised that she's going to die by drinking the Maim Amarim if it's necessary. But if Yeshla Edom in Medina Sayam, if there are Edom who know that she was Mezana, that the whole miracle was never promised in the first place. So if Edom show up, obviously the Edom were there from before. When the woman says, Tamei Ani Loch, so she says now Tamei Ani Loch. But if there were Edom in Medina Sayam show up, now the Edom are always there. They just didn't show up. So the Gemara says, so the whole Kedusha wasn't Chal in the first place. You can't be Makdash Shachatas or an Asham. Unless he mechuyev, some minchas soita is also like a chatas and an ashim. He can't be magdish in the kli unless he really need it. So over here, it's not really needed because there are edim. So the Gemara asked Akasha, why does it say minchas and isrefes? He should say should be yotze lechulin. So the Gemara says it's exerim of the rabbanon because people will say shelo yamru that the thing that people won't realize, the people will think hakluch aguflam is beach, and then you paid it. What's going on here? The people won't understand. So the fact that it's Nisrefis, that's only made the Rabbanon. But our Torah really is that it's Yotze L'chulin, that the whole Hakdosha wasn't Chal in the first place. Then the Mishnah continues. Let's say they're about to be Makrev the Mincha, and then she says, I don't want to go through with it. So they asked her, are you innocent or guilty? She says, I'm innocent, but I don't want to go through with it. So the captain said, what are you worried about? The innocents are drink, then nothing is going to happen. She doesn't want to go through. She doesn't admit that she's guilty. And she insists she's innocent. She doesn't want to drink. If she says any shoy, so says nisht. We had the Gemara before. If he already did mechika samigili, he already erased shem Hashem, so we force her to drink unless she says tameyani, unless she admits that she's guilty. But if they didn't erase the shame, they didn't erase the megili yet, so if she says tameyani, that's the end. So the kiddush kli bishaito was good. So then you have the mincha, and you have to burn it. Or if the husband says I don't want to vishabayla any rotzalash, because the husband backs out. Let's say the husband was traveling with his wife to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. So the din is the word appears three times. So the Tana Darshan in the Mishnah, the husband is not allowed to live with his wife after she already had kina stira.
What happened to the escorts who supposed to watch them?
Supposed to have escort, so they fell asleep. Right, so they fell asleep. So the husband, by law, bore leho baderech, as they're traveling to Yerushalayim, it may take a couple of days, so he's bore leho, so then the miracle was not promised in such a case. If the husband violated din, miracle won't work. So in such a case, that's what Tosis asks. By law, bore leho baderech, so we should say the whole mincha was never kaddish in the first place, because he weren't supposed to put it into the klishers. So Tosis...
No, but we found that out later. We found it.
Bo Edom means that the Edom are always there.
They're
just
there. Yeah, this is a new factor that we find out a month later that the Paul was called.
No, we find out before the makir of the mincha and the mizbeach. So if you find out that it's baile baaleh baderech,
appropriate procedure. We follow the appropriate procedure.
Yeah, but if
the Baal was had an affair, he didn't affair, he would live with somebody, the Baal, he's not Nika Miyavu.
Yeah, so that's the Rambam learns, Nika Ish Miyavu means he should never have been Boa Bi Asura Miyomov.
Right, so.
And Rashi and Tesla, no, only if he was Boa Lea Baderech, only if the husband lived with his wife, if he violated this din of an Itma, if he violated with someone else, a din, he lived with a Shiksa or something, so the miracle is still going to work. So that's Machlek, what does it mean, Nika Ish Miyavu? Rashi and Tosis learn only if he violated this din of Soit Asur Labaila, the miracle won't work. But this is Tosis Kasha. At the time that he put the Mincha in the Klisharis, it was a mistake, because the Baal had already been Baal Abad Derech. So Tosis Mutch is a little bit over here, on the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis, Tais says, but we didn't know. So what if he didn't know? But bo edim imnidasayim, also you didn't know till later. But it's a gloy milsalem afreya. From the very outset, it was a mistake. So here also, if you didn't realize that baila baal el badach, later on when you realize it, you should say the whole kedushas hamincha was a mistake. So Taisus works hard on that. They don't really give a satisfactory answer.
Why can't it be the same reason?
Midirabbanan. Could be. It's only midirabbanan. Okay. I would like that answer. Taisus doesn't answer like that. I would say like you, it's only midirabbanan. Min haTorah, it was a gloy milsalem afreya. That the whole Kiddush Kli was a mistake. Everything was a mistake. I would prefer to say like that. Now then, Perek is going to end off, this long Mishnah, is going to list off what are the differences, halacha elamaisa, between men and women. The halachic differences. The Mishnah doesn't give a full listing. So Tesis and Amid Beis, Chav Beis Amid Beis, has Dibra Mascha, Ma Ben Ish Liisha, what are the differences? The Tesis quotes at the Sefta. There are many more differences in halacha between men and women. So the Mishnah is going to list off differences between men and women with respect to the Mincha Soita. Okay, so maybe we'll save that for next week. And this week's Sedra, we have the din of Korban Pesach mentioned for the first time. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta on the Pasuk, Mishchu Kulachem Tzon V'shachatu HaPasach. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim in the Mechilta, Mishchu Yedechem Me'avodah Zarah. You should stop worshipping Avodah Zarah. They were Jews in Egypt, the men were worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Medrash has a famous comment, when Bnei Yisrael came up to Yamsuf, and Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Harmis Matchal Yamuf Koeyu, so the Yamsuf starts the Taina. Why should I split for them, and then I should stop and then drown the Mitzrayim? Halalu abdei abadizav, halalu abdei abadizav. What's the difference between the Jews and the Mitzrayim? So the Baruch Shalom has to defend the Jewish people, and he says, no, the Jewish people were pressured into worshipping abadizav. They didn't want to, and the Mitzrayim wanted to. So that's why they should let the Yam should split, and the miracle should occur. They should let Bnei Yisrael cross over the earth. But the Jews were, according to the Medrash, at least the men, v'schus nashim tzidkani yisnigal abaseinim mitzrayim. Apparently the women didn't worship abadizav. The women were more traditional than the men. The women are usually assumed to be more traditional than the men. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Gemara says in the end of Brachas that Adam Arishim was created du partzufin, and the Gemara seems to assume that they were back to back. They were facing opposite directions. That's a shaila in the Zohar. When the du partzufin, were they facing the same direction? Chava wasn't created later from a tzela, from a rib. Chava and Adam were both there. They were attached, and Vayikach HaSatzela just means that he separate. That's how the Gemara interprets. So the Gemara understands that Adam and Chava were back to back facing opposite direction. Not like a desire has a stira. One version of the Zohar is that they were facing the same direction. So the Gemara says that they were facing opposite directions. Who was looking forward? Who was looking backward? So the Gemara says that Chava was looking backward. Adam was looking forward, and Chava was looking backwards. So Rav Soloveitchik understood the Gemara to say that women are more attached to the past. Women are always looking behind. They always remember when they got married, and when my wife remembers when every child was born, and under the chuppah, and who was there and who wasn't there, she remembers everything. And I don't remember anything from the past. I always look in the future, I never look into the past. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's why the women weren't involved in the Avodah Zarah. The women wanted very much to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim didn't want to go. The Meraglim were always looking, the men were always looking to the future. Some new thing. And the women were always looking to the past. So you have the Medrash says, Mishcha Yidechem Avodah Zarah. Many of the men were involved in Avodah Zarah, and they still deserve the Geula. Even though they're involved in Avodah Zarah, they still deserve the Geula. It should be Mishcha Yidechem Avodah Zarah. Stop worshipping Avodah Zarah, and you'll be able to bring the Korban Pesach, and you'll be Zecha to the Geula. So it's interesting, the Or Sameach has a Chiddush. There is a Mishnah in Psochim where the Mishnah quotes a Machlokes Bisham Bisila. What's the din of a Gershon, his guy, on Erev Pesach? A non-Jew converts on Erev Pesach. Would we permit him to participate in the Korban Pesach? Why not? So the lechera for sure. Well, what should be the problem? So the Mishnah says the machleg b'sham b'sil. So b'sil we pass like b'sil mid the rabbanon. We don't permit him to participate in the Korban Pesach, Hagzeira de Rabbanim, that he may, if he went to a funeral yesterday, he was a goy. So a goy is not Mekabel Tumah. Adam is Mekabel Tumah, only a Jew. A non-Jew is not Mekabel Tumah. So he'll remember, he just went to a Levaya yesterday, but today he was Megayer. So after he was Megayer, he was not Metame. So if he'll allow him to bring Korban Pesach, he may do the same shtick next year. He'll attend a funeral the day before Erev Pesach. Then Erev Pesach said, well, last year I went to a funeral 2 days before Pesach and I brought the Korban Pesach, so I could do the same thing this year. And he won't realize that last year he was a Nochri, he wasn't Mekabel Tumah. This year he's already a Jew for the last year, so a Jew is Mekabel Tumah. So he made a Gzera de Rabbanon that you shouldn't permit the Ger to participate in the Korban Pesach. So the Osamech is bothered by the Kasha. There is a Gemara increases on Daftesim and Aleph that when a Ger converts, you have to have Mila. If it's a man, you have to have Mila and Tvila and a Korban. And Kozman, that the Ger doesn't bring the Korban, we wouldn't permit him to eat Korbanus. His Kedushas Yisrael is incomplete. So what does the Mishnah say? There was a Ger who was Nizgar Ber of Pesach, he was Mal the Toval, and he wants to eat Korban Pesach. What do you mean? But he has to bring the Korban HaGer. Kozman, he does bring the Korban HaGer, so there's nothing to discuss. How come it doesn't say so in the Mishnah? How come it just says in the Mishnah, the Ger was Mal the Toval, and he's already insisting, Menatara, he's allowed to eat Korban Pesach, and a machlek is bisham yisul where they make a gzera de rabbanim. Oh, so that's what the orsameach is mechadesh, that it could be that just like Pesach Mitzrayim was mishchi dechem avodizara, that was the korban geirus of Klal Yisrael. That was the demonstration, because the Mitzrayim used to worship those animals. They used to worship the animals, the holy cow. So when the Jews shechted the korban Pesach, that was a demonstration that they're rejecting avodizara. So the Dervis also, the offering of the Korban Pesach every year, is a demonstration that we're subscribing to Achdus Hashem, that we're all rejecting Avodah Zarah. So just like Pesach and Tzrayim was Mishchei Dechem Avodah Zarah, so it could be that the Dervis, if the Ger wants to participate in the Korban Pesach will serve as the Korban Geris. That's the Chiddush that the Yos HaMeach has. In fact, years ago, about 45 years ago, there was a young fellow who was learning in Yerushalayim in the Miri Yeshiva, and a Chalamoid Pesach, he had nothing better to do, so he went to Hebrew University and he looked at the manuscripts that they had. So they had manuscripts after the war. The Nazis had stolen so many Svarim and Kisviyat from all over Europe, so they were divided up to different places. So they sent some to Yeshiva University, and they're still rotting away there. No one ever did anything. They're very precious manuscripts. They had Kisviyat from Abshalom Eger, from Rabbi Kivega's drushes, that someone else walked off with and printed it. They didn't even give credit that they stole it from Yeshiva University. And they gave to the Jewish Theological Seminary, so the Hebrew University had. So this young fellow was learning in the Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he went to see the Kisviyat that the Hebrew University had. So they had from Dvinsk from the 1920s, and they didn't know who the author was. He didn't know whose handwriting it was, but he saw this Chiddush, and he remembered that the Meshech Chochma writes like that, and he writes Bechidushai Herachti. And then he realized that there were a few other things that were in this manuscript that were identical with what the Osamech wrote, and the other Svarim said that's how he identified that manuscript was from the Osamech. So it was printed. That's Osamech Alashas, Chidushim Alashas. So that's his Chiddush. He thinks that the Korban Pesach, even the Doiras, is an act of Mishchei Dechem Avodah Zarah. Every year, we renew our bris with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, as if every year we bring the Korban Geirus all over again, to demonstrate that we're rejecting Avodah Zarah again. But it's interesting that even a person who worships Avodah Zarah is entitled, let him do tshuva, let him declare that he doesn't want to do Avodah Zarah, and it'll be Zecha to Geula. It's interesting to keep that in mind. Okay. Tea is very good.
You didn't drink it. I would have given you more. You good, want some
good.
More?
No, it's okay.
Rabbi, so why did the Malachim say Eilev Vodazar, Eilev Vodazar? They just rejected it. They shepherded the Korban Pesach. And they were over Gilu, Rais, and Shiva Kazdama, the Mitzrayim, were over all three. So it's just that. So, I mean, they're certainly better than them. So
probably meant to have a record of having worshipped Abba Dezara. So why should they deserve just because the last minute they...
Yeah, but there were other activities too. Rashi mentioned by the Chanukah Shir about the Zakat Mamre, that if he's over the Rabbanan, if he gives Horan the Rabbanan...